Okay, friends, now we begin Rays and Initiations webinar commentary number 40. And he's getting into the definition now of the six basic techniques. So let's see how this looks. Let us therefore, let us get a nice bracket going there. Let us therefore take these six aspects of a basic building technique. The technique is one, the aspects are six, and endeavor to arrive at their occult and creative significance. Because we are dealing with the creative thread at this time, and a creative act weaving in the light, as it were. That is one of the lesson sets of the Arcane School, the Weavers in the Light, and a very important one. So the very first of the stages is intention. Or as I've said, you know, sometimes it's called intention, having the suggestion with that that a certain point of tension is created. Intention. By this is not meant a mental decision, wish, or determination. In other words, it's not not so much a mental expression of the will. The idea is more literally the focusing of energy upon the mental plane at the greatest possible tension. Well, we should remember here what is the definition of a point of tension. Does relate to the will. Definition of a point of tension, and there's going to be one of our little POT, a pot, point of tension. Okay. So we remember that the definition of a point of tension is as follows. Focused, F-O-C-U-S-E-D, immovable will. That is a point of tension. It signifies the bringing about of a condition in the disciple's consciousness, which is analogous to that of the Logos when, on his much vaster scale, he concentrated within a ring pass knot, defining his desired sphere of influence, the energy substance needed to carry out his purpose in manifesting. So what do we call this then? It's the concentration. Concentration of necessary energy substance. And this, I suppose, is necessary substance. Right. The concentration of the necessary energy substance according to one's will to create the design of the intended design of one's creation. This the disciple must also do, gathering his forces, to use a common expression, gathering his forces, into the highest point of mental consciousness, I suppose on the fourth subplane of the mental plane, on the fourth subplane of the mental plane. Okay. Let's just write that out the way it should be. All right, on the fourth subplane of the mental plane, and holding them there in a state of absolute tension, well, let's just call it undeviating tension. So it's a great act of concentration. Excuse me, the gathering of the forces into the highest point of his mental consciousness. He's not so much entering the higher mental plane yet. Excuse me. He is still on the concrete levels, but the highest levels of the concrete mental planes, subplanes, the fourth. And holding them there, holding these energies there in a state of absolute tension, some of these energies would have to be gathered up from the lower parts, still lower subplanes of the personality. So, SB, okay, let's see what we have here. Subplane, SUBS, no. Yeah, SPS, subplanes, and SP, maybe it's going to be subplane, SP, subplane. So, okay, absolute tension. You can see how the purpose lying behind some of the meditation processes and techniques as embodied in the words, you can see now the purpose lying behind some of the meditation processes and techniques as embodied in the words, so often used in the meditation outlines, raise the consciousness to the head center, hold the consciousness at the highest possible point, endeavor to hold the mind steady in the light, and many similar phrases. This involves holding, concentration, steadiness, non-deviation. They are all concerned with the task of bringing the disciple to the point where he can achieve the desired point of tension and of energy focusing. From such a point of tension, a process can go forth, a process requiring energy and a dynamic power behind it. A process can go forth from a sufficient point of tension and energy focusing. This will enable him to bring the conscious task of, begin the conscious task of constructing the antikarana. This is the very first stage. And let's just say there has to be enough power to undertake this process. So we gather together sufficient energy to propel the whole process. Sufficient energy to propel process is gathered. It is this thought which really lies unrecognized behind the word intention, so often used by Roman Catholics and Anglo Catholics when preparing candidates for communion. We raise our normal type of focus to a kind of pinnacle. Raising the focus to a pinnacle. Pinnacle for us. Because the higher that point of tension, the more can be accomplished, breakthroughs can occur. Okay, so the higher the point of tension, the greater the possible accomplishment and breakthroughs can occur. DK has told us that if we work from a sufficient point of tension, we can accomplish in a very short time, maybe a few hours, maybe a few minutes, what otherwise might take weeks, months, years at a lower state of energy concentration. Okay, so they indicate a different direction, however, for the orientation they desire. In other words, these other processes involving intention or tension indicate a different direction, for the orientation they desire is not that towards the monad or spirit, but towards the soul, towards the source of love. In an effort to bring about, the requirements of the probationary path, better character equipment in the personality, and an intensification of the mystical approach, which is always based upon duality. The one who yearns and that for which he or she yearns, man and God. How to bridge that apparently unbridgeable gulf, usually through the power of aspiration, but what we're dealing with now is much more of an occult science. In the intention of the disciple, who is consciously occupied with the rainbow bridge, the first necessary steps are. So we're going to distinguish this type of tension from that which is applied upon the path of probation. And there's another one of those. Okay. We'll look at it this way. Path of probation. It's really important to have these different stages well in mind, because we cannot possibly require of all people that they strive for the same objectives. This would lead definitely to defeat. So in the case of those of us who are trying to help students along the way, we must know something of their stage and their possibilities, just the way the masters know quite completely our stage and our possibilities. So in the intention, the gathering of energies at a point of tension, let's just keep on reminding ourselves of that, the gathering of energies at a point of tension, of the disciple who is consciously occupied with the rainbow bridge, the first necessary steps are, okay, the achievement of right orientation. And this must take place in two stages. First, towards the soul, as one of the building, as one aspect of the building energy, and then towards the triad. Some degree of soul infusion is required for the Antikarana process to be successful. So first, an orientation towards the soul, and that we're taught in the early stages of learning what occult meditation is all about, and then an orientation towards that which is more difficult to understand, the great and impersonal planetary spiritual triad, which is part of an impersonal world, not just a supra-personal world, such as the soul is, but an impersonal world, and the mental understanding of the task to be carried out. This is a definite factor and not necessarily easy to achieve. This involves using the mind in two ways: responsive to Buddhic or intuitional impression, and an act of the creative imagination. Okay, so we have to achieve right orientation towards the soul and triad, and we have to understand mentally what we are attempting to do, because it's a very abstruse type of process, and without some definiteness of thought along the right line, we'll be wandering in the dark. Using the mind in two ways, responsiveness to buddhic or intuition impression, and using the mind to work as a factor creating the proper images of the imagination. This is not just loose imagination. This is a guided, mentally guided imagination. Okay, and point C, a process of energy gathering or of force absorption. Where does it come from? In order that the needed energies are confined within the mental ring pass, not prior to the later stage, later process of visualization, and then projection. So the gathering is often considered to be from the lower aspects of the personality. But also from the soul, the will aspect of the soul. Seven aspects of will, thought of as concentrated within the ring pass knot of tension upon the fourth level, sub-level of the mental plane. Excuse me. Then comes a period of clear thinking, anent, the process and intention, so that the dedicated bridge builder may clearly perceive what is being done. I hope that this is correct. Maybe this is requiring a comma. A process of clear thinking, anent, a period of clear thinking, anent, process and intention. So what I'm going to do here, just bear with me a moment. I'm going to check to see whether we've left out any sentence. Hopefully not. And we're in the rays and initiations, and let's just say that this is how does it say here? A period of clear thinking. A period of clear thinking. Anent. Okay. Process and intention. Oh, it's a mistake in the CD-ROM. It should be a comma. So that the dedicated bridge builder may clearly perceive what is being done. And finally, E, the steady preservation of tension without undue physical strain upon the brain cells, as this is always always an undesirable possibility. So let's see, what are the five? Just reviewing them. Right orientation towards soul and triad. Mental understanding about using the mind receptively and creatively and involved with the creative imagination, creative visualization, energy gathering or force absorption from above and from below, clear thinking about the process, not just a general understanding, but a clear thinking about the steps to be taken so that we may clearly perceive what is being done, and then preserving the tension, we might say, from interruption, without undue physical strain. Sometimes you see people, you know, showing signs of physical strain and making faces and all kinds of things, and those are simply auxiliary and unnecessary actions, which probably even interfere with the preservation of the right kind of tension. When this has been accomplished, there will be found to be present a focal point of mental energy which previously had been non-existent. All right. So indeed, something new is appearing on the mental plane, on the lower mental plane, LMP, appearing on the fourth sublevel, which is the highest sublevel of the mental plane. Excuse me. The mind will be held steady in the light. Well, certainly the light of the soul. That first. And there will also be the alignment of a receptive, attentive personality and a soul oriented towards the personality and in a state of constant directed perception. This is very important. So in order to create the foundation for this process, their alignment is necessary. A strong and clear alignment. So alignment necessary, and excuse me, but I consider this necessary. N-E-C-E-S-S-A-R-Y. Alignment necessary to create the foundation for the Antahkarana building process. I would remind you that the soul, as it lives its own life on its own levels of awareness, at least Buddhic and maybe beyond, is not always constantly aware of its shadow, the personality in the three worlds. When the Antahkarana is being built, this awareness must be present along with the intention of the personality. So, you know, clearly, this is, okay, this is placing a demand upon the soul, the soul or angel. Sometimes DK tells us not always to be importuning the solar angel because it has its own tasks to carry forward on its own levels, and what those levels are hinted at, but certainly they include the Buddhic plane and a portion of the solar angel invested in the higher mental plane and within the egoic lotus, as we might call it, the angel of the presence. So it's a magical process, really, and it requires a downward gazing soul, and it requires work from both ends of the line. All of this should be much pondered. A receptive, attentive personality in alignment, strongly in alignment, which means, I would say, wouldn't you, an integrated personality oriented towards the soul, and the soul oriented towards the personality, and then a state of constant directed perception. Does this require the full attention of the solar angel on his own levels, or is that amount of the solar angel which is invested in the causal body sufficient to handle this? I'm not sure. But let's just say that the solar angel's work is sacrificial, and sacrifice is often the confining of oneself to a sphere of lesser possibility than one is capable of. So maybe the attention of the full solar angel is needed. In my mind, at least, that will have to remain an unresolved question. But, you know, I've read this many times, and probably many of you have too. We have to allow the most important statements to sink in. So this is a dual process, a dual process, and much of it is literally out of our hands. up to the soul or the angel of the presence. Oops. And I think that's another one of those ones that one wants to have. Angel of the presence. It's a little mysterious sometimes what the angel of the presence is. I've concluded that it's an aspect of the solar angel which is invested in the causal body, having pervaded the entire universe of the causal body, with a fragment of myself, the solar angel, I, the solar angel, remain. That's one way to think of it. And in the fifth stanza of the Blessed Ones that deal with the fifth ray, in Esoteric Psychology 2, there are some very important hints concerning that. All right, so he's given us a little bit about intention and the tension that it represents. And now he's going to move on succinctly describing the different ones of the six states. So the next one is visualization, which, you know, remember that the kind of visualization we're dealing with here is not just spontaneous, undisciplined. Not spontaneous and undisciplined, but involves the understanding of the mind. And there's another one of those. Okay. Without understanding, we're not going to get very far, and that's a word that is constantly being, constantly being referenced by the Tibetan. So this is a disciplined process, mentally edited, mentally directed. Although the substance of it, the imagery, may come from the astral plane, particularly, I guess, the second sublevel of the astral plane. Up to this point, the activity has been of a mental nature. The creative imagination has been relatively quiescent. The disciple has been occupied with the mind and upon mental levels and has looked neither up nor down. In other words, on the mental level, we can gather the necessary energy. But it all depends from where this energy is accessed. It may have to be accessed from above and below, and that would be a little bit of looking either up or down. But the mind has the responsibility of gathering the necessary energy. But now the right point of tension has been reached, sufficient to sustain the forthcoming process, at least the process for which the human being is responsible, sufficient to sustain that part of the process for which the human being is responsible. Because, you know, tension, visualization, projection, the human being is responsible for all that, and also invocation. But beyond that, the human being is not responsible. The evocation, maybe he contributes somewhat to the stabilization, but higher forces are at work, allowing the higher part of the antikarana process to occur, and the higher aspects of the higher nature come forth to meet the demand of the lower nature. The reservoir or pool of needed energy has been, notice this word, restrained, contained, restrained, within the carefully delimited ring pass not, and the bridge builder is ready for the next step. But, you know, as always, without, and that's another one of those words we need. So many. Without sufficient power, this work cannot be sustained. Power, and let's get rid of those. Without sufficient power, this process cannot be launched. Let's call it that. He therefore proceeds at this point to construct the blueprint of the work to be done. By drawing upon the imagination and its faculties, as they are to be found upon the highest level of his astral or sensitive vehicle. Highest level or the second level, idealism, emotional idealism is found upon the highest level, but I suppose that type of idealism gets into the act as well. So this does not relate to the emotions. Imagination is, as you know, the lowest aspect of the intuition. That's another one of those golden sentences that we have to impress upon ourselves. And this fact must be remembered at all times. So the right use of the imagination is the open sesame into the intuition. Sensitivity, as an expression of the astral body, is the opposite pole to Buddhic sensitivity. In the astral body, it's mostly sensitivity to form in the lower worlds. And this is not so when we're dealing with Buddhic sensitivity, which is pervaded by the quality of love and wisdom and is inclusive and encompassing and does not deal with the kinds of forms, anyway, that we find in the dense physical body of the planetary logos. The disciple has purified and refined his imaginative faculties so that they are now responsive to the impression of the Buddhic principle or of intuitive perception. Well, okay, how is our imagination used? So obviously we have to say wrong use of the imagination will not lead to this refinement. So what we desire, what we visualize, what we imagine has to be aligned with higher purposes before the necessary refinement of these faculties can be achieved. Perception apart from sight or any recorded possible vision. So the disciple has purified and refined his imaginative faculties so that they are now responsive to the impression of the Buddhic principle or of the intuitive perception. And how does he define this? What is this type of perception? And it is perception apart from sight or any recorded possible vision. It transcends these. Now, this is the kind of thing that I would normally put in my AAB extracts. What is intuitive perception? It is perception apart from sight, which involves usually an aspect of a lower form, or any recorded possible vision. So let's just put it like this, that intuitive perception transcends what we usually call vision. Well, I think some of us know what it's like to be attacked by an intuition. Or to be the recipient of an intuition seems to come out of the blue. It seems to be formless, and yet it has content. Only later do the forms associated with that intuition and the vision of those forms begin to materialize. But the first impression is from the what we would call the formless world. So although since we're dealing with the cosmic physical plane, you know, cosmically, these are still worlds of form. And as to what we would find on the cosmic astral plane, we don't know. And the Tibetan, in all modesty, has said he doesn't know either because he has not been there, at least at the time of the writing of these books. What does it take, really, to be impressed by the cosmic astral plane? Maybe one has to be at least monadically focused, or maybe a seventh-degree initiate. By the time one is an eighth-degree initiate, it is possible to venture there and to return to the cosmic physical plane. According to the responsiveness of the astral vehicle, let's see now. Yeah, because the imaginative faculties emanate from the second level of the astral plane. So in order to be responsive to the responsiveness of the astral vehicle on its second level, I suppose, to the Buddhic impression, so will be the accuracy of the plans laid for the building of the Antikorana and the visualizing of the Bridge of Light in all its beauty and completeness. So the purification of the astral body with imagination being sourced in the astral body is indispensable for this process. And that's why, think of it, at the second initiation, this is when the building can really begin. It's so much about the purification of the astral body, because before that, purification takes place. The Buddhic impression, if it touches the astral body, will be distorted. So purification of the astral body is indispensable if there is to be right perception of Buddhic impression. And as you might suspect, here I go, BD, and that will be Buddhic. All right. So all of our work around the time of the second initiation, where we try to make sure that our desires do not succumb to Mars and Pluto, but rather to a higher expression of Neptune, Jupiter, and Venus, all of that work is necessary if we are to properly visualize the blueprint, visualize the Bridge of Light and the plans associated with it, and to receive the Buddhic impression in purity instead of in a distorted manner. Now, obviously, look, we're going through this relatively quickly, and I know what should be done. We should stop and we should ponder almost every significant sentence, and most of them are significant. We could ponder for quite a while until the thoughts about meaning really came in, but for the sake of some degree of expediency, we have to move forward and cannot allow ourselves that kind of time. But you can stop the video, and you know, when there's something that you don't understand or that you feel you could understand with greater depth, then in fact you could take the time to attend to the possibility of that understanding. So according to the responsiveness of the astral vehicle to the Buddhic impression, you know, they are the four and the six, they both have a lot of Neptune and are resonant via Neptune, so will be the accuracy of the plans that which can descend via the Antikorana, laid for the building of the Antikorana and the visualizing of the Bridge of Light. He doesn't tell us how to visualize the Bridge of Light. He simply tells us that it will be consisting of two colors, one the color of our soul ray, one the color of our personality ray, and Probably, if we had auditory imagination, we would hear two notes sounding as well, and they would be specific notes. So all of this type of science can be approached with ever greater specificity as our capacity to hold many things in mind at the same time increases, and our capacity to see and hear inwardly increases. The creative imagination has to be stepped up in its vibratory energy so that it can affect the pool of energy or the energy substance which has been gathered for the building of the bridge in the stage of intention. So it's not that the imagination stands by itself, but it has to affect the energies, affecting the energies held at a point of tension. The creative, excuse me, the creative activity of the imagination is the first organizing influence which works upon and within the ring pass knot of accumulated energies held in a state of tension by the intention of the disciple. Oh, this is one of those ponderable statements. Ponder upon this occult and significant statement. I can invite us all to do that. You know, you can stop the video and ponder. Obviously, this pool of energies gathered at the peak of the personality upon the fourth level of the lower mental plane must be affected by the higher and descending energies, and there is a kind of organization which occurs here when we actually purify the astral body to such an extent that the Buddhic impression with its pure reason can come through in an undistorted manner. The creative activity of the imagination, and everyone will be responsible for doing it his or her own way, is the first organizing influence, you know, because it's simply a pool of held energies, which works in upon and within the ring pass knot of accumulated energies held in a state of tension, retained within a ring pass knot, and not allowed to deviate, not allowed to leak, as it were, held in a state of tension by the intention of the disciple. The focused, immovable will of the disciple creating a point of tension in which the necessary energies are held for a further projective task. Ponder on this occult and significant statement, so after a half hour or an hour have elapsed, then maybe we can move on. The creative imagination is in the nature of an active energy drawn up into relationship with the point of tension. Now, why should that be? Well, it's pretty clear. It's coming from the second level, the higher levels of the astral plane, and so it has to be vibratorily drawn up. Vibratorily drawn up to the mental plane. Okay, MP, mental plane. Vibratorily drawn up to that higher plane, the mental plane, which is vibratorily higher. It there and then produces effects in mental substance. Well, this we have to experience by following the rules, and we can see what kind of effects might be produced, perhaps a deeper understanding of the Buddhic impression which was made upon the higher levels of the astral plane. Effects in mental substance, perhaps a greater understanding of the fine plan. The tension is thereby increased because of the addition of astrally, of imaginative energies. Okay. And there's that word because, very important one. I know that you're having to suffer through a little bit of this, but others will benefit from your sacrifice. The tension is thereby increased, and the more potent and clearer the visualization process, the more beautiful and strong will be the bridge. Well, that tells us something about the need to purify our imagination. And that is done in various ways, by visualizing that which is truly spiritually desirable and not the ordinary kinds of desires which trap the imagination into the making of forms which don't lead to spiritual elevation. Visualization is the process whereby the creative imagination is rendered active. Visualization, you know, it does involve the mind as a corrective, saying yes and no. We can't allow the active imagination. This is not what in psychology is called active imagination. You might visualize anything or see anything with the active imagination process. It's often very good for diagnostics, but it's not good for the kind of building we're talking about here, because elements from the lower desire nature creep in and they have to steadfastly be held out. Visualization is the process whereby the creative imagination is rendered active and becomes responsive to and attracted by the point of tension upon the mental plane. This is another one of those great ponderable sentences. So DK has given us material of such weight, such esoteric weight. So visualization is not simply the creative imagination. When we visualize, the creative imagination is used in a specific way. So let's just call it this CI, and we'll call it creative imagination. Visualization is the process whereby the CI is used in a specific and disciplined manner. Is rendered active. The creative imagination is rendered active and becomes responsive to and attracted by the point of tension on the mental plane, as he has said, thus increasing the tension by which the stage of projection can be launched. At this stage, the disciple is occupied with two energies, one quiescent and held within the ring, pass not, but at a point of extreme tension. And this is the point of tension on the mental plane, and the other active, picture forming, outgoing, and responsive to the mind of the bridge builder. Yes, you see, that shows us that the visualization process does involve the mind, which disciplines it, shapes it, It's cleaning and shaping the images. In this connection, it should be remembered that the second aspect of the divine Trinity is the form-building aspect, you know, and the astral body is the second of the three elemental vehicles. The second aspect of the divine Trinity is the form-building aspect, and thus, under the law of analogy, it is the second aspect of the personality and the second aspect of the spiritual triad, the Buddhic, right? Which are becoming creatively active, creating the necessary forms, the type of form in light which is needed for the descent of Buddhic impression. Okay, which is needed. The disciple is now proceeding with the second stage of his building work, and so the numerical significance will become apparent to you. He's working in imaginative form. And in, we might say, forms of light, forms of even, we might say, forms of colored light. He must work slowly at this point, picturing what he wants to do, why he has to do it, what are the stages of his work, what will be the resultant effects of his planned activity, and what are the materials with which he has to work. So, no fast path is promised here, but even, let us say, cautious, laborious work, which is fully conscious. And there's another one of those words which we need all the time, which is fully conscious. He endeavors to visualize the entire process, and by this means sets up a definite rapport, if successful, between the Buddhic intuition and the creative imagination of the astral body. So, let's say, the creative imagination will respond to Buddhic design and impression. And what that is, we really don't know until it happens, but we will get the sense that the images created have a definite rapport with some higher order of relationship, such as is found on the plane of pure reason, or purely reasonable relationship according to the divine plan and purpose. So consequently, you will have at this point, I think we could use a good summary here, couldn't we? The Buddhic activity of impression, and we have to visualize that the bridge will reach the Buddhic plane, the Buddhic permanent atom, and whatever the Buddhic vehicle has been organized, the tension of the mental vehicle as it holds the needed energy substance at the point of projection, because the next phase, projection, will occur from the mental vehicle. And the imaginative processes of the astral body. That's a lot to hold in mind, isn't it? A lot to hold in the awareness, and that's where the practice must come in. A lot to hold in awareness. When the disciple has trained himself to be consciously aware of the simultaneity of this threefold work, he's always telling us in the advanced meditation how many different processes we have to hold in mind simultaneously, then it goes forward successfully and almost automatically, but we must build carefully and slowly if the speed is to eventuate. This he does through the power of the visualization. We visualize the threefold process. We attempt to inwardly see the simultaneous threefold process. A current of force is set up between these pairs of opposites. Maybe we can feel that, the astral buddhic. And as it passes through the reservoir of force upon the mental plane, it produces an interior activity and an organization of the substance present. So we see that we have to, hope you're not hearing those big rings, establish the rapport and trust that the proper organization will occur. There then supervenes a steadily mounting potency. We might say more and more tension at the point of tension until the third stage is reached and the work passes out of the phase of subjectivity into that of objective reality, objective from the standpoint of the spiritual man. We'll have to examine this type of objectivity. It is a first-ray type of movement which is impending. All right. Well, there's so much to ponder here. We really need the tension at the point of tension, the retained energies, to be sufficient to propel the process forward with accuracy. And the accuracy comes through the buddhic impression on the refined astral vehicle, the right use of the creative imagination, through the process of mentally directed visualization. Now, all of this, you know, we can talk about it, but we have to practice, definitely. So I think we're, sort of reaching, I don't see the point of going ahead with discussion of projection. This would be now the end of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary number 40. And there's always a question of what pages we're involved with here. So hopefully we can find the pages. Oftentimes by going down is the best way to do that. We're on page 490. So we begin, we began at maybe page 486. Okay, I'm trying to get there for you and not waste anybody's time, but we've got to be as clear as possible. Yeah, 486 to 490, and we'll copy that and go down to where the end has occurred. I guess we can do anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 pages, depending upon the depth of what is being discussed. I'm fully aware that so much amazing instruction has been given. So this is 486 to 490, and the date is still the 10th of January, 17. And beginning of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary, number 41, probably for another day, beginning with 490. Now, all of this, I'm aware that I've gone through it too quickly. This has to be studied and it has to be ingrained in the process. We have to get the feel of the energy flows. We have to get the sense of the connection between the different aspects of our nature which are simultaneously visualized. It's a very delicate interior process. And the results will come, as DK said, but they will be subtle. So we have to be on the outlook for understanding, subtle impression. It will not be externally realized. It's a deeply interior type of realization when intuition strikes with accuracy and when our the availability of the higher worlds is introduced into our meditative process. So understanding is one thing, and we have to understand deeply, but continuous practice is another matter, and that is up to every one of us if we can see the reason why this type of work is so important. Basically, he says, humanity will not really advance as desired without the anti-corona work. All right. So that's the end of number 40. We'll get this sent out to you. I haven't made the mistake the way I did the last time, where for the first 9 minutes and 50 seconds, I managed not to record any text. And I have a couple of friends working on this, and I handed them the problem, and they seem to be able to correct it. So you'll be receiving that. All right. Thus, the end of Raised and Initiations webinar commentary number 40. We have worked now specifically with intention and visualization, the first two stages in summary, but well worth reading and rereading to make sure that the important points are lodged in our consciousness. Okay, see you soon. Bye-bye.